And good evening. Welcome to another Quest Community Vibrations, now known as Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. Music is like poetry and has a message. History is like a diamond that shines clear to the truth. Words have meaning that we can always comprehend like definition. News can create a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now pull back the curtain and see the contribution, and you will find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, actually vibrations. Thank you for joining us again for another episode of Quest Community Vibrations, better known as Quest Youth Radio, where you will hear a different perspective of our diaspora. Now, without any further ado, I would like to introduce you to our student host, Mr. Walter Pierce. Good evening, Walter.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio. And for today's show, I'm already going to spoil the two diamonds for you. To start off, we're going to be talking about Booker T. Washington and W.E.B. Du Bois. And the reason is because this is going back to like one of my first ever topics I ever did when I came onto the show. And, you know, I would like to just reinterpret the meaning behind these two and how their ideologies were different from each other. So starting off with W.E.B. Du Bois, I will first read the intro for Diamonds. And see, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, going on to W.E.B. Du Bois, and see, Du Bois graduated from Fisk University, a historically black institution in Nashville, Tennessee, in 1888. He received a Ph.D. from Harvard University in 1895. His doctoral dissertation, The Suppression of an African Slave Trade to the United States of America from 1638 to 1870, was published in 1896. Although Du Bois took an advanced degree in history, he was broadly trained in the social sciences, and at a time when sociologists were theorizing about race relations, he was conducting studies into the conditions of blacks. For more than a decade, he devoted himself to sociological investigations of blacks in America, producing 16 research monographs published between 1897 and 1914 at Atlanta University in Georgia. Although Du Bois had originally believed that social science could provide the knowledge to solve the race problem, he gradually came to the conclusion that in a climate of racism expressed in such evils as lynching, people disenfranchisement, Jim Crow segregation laws, race riots, social change could be accomplished only through protest. In this view, he clashed with one of the most influential black leaders of this period, Booker T. Washington, who had a different philosophy from him, which we'll talk about a little bit later. In 1905, Du Bois took the lead in the founding of the Niagara Movement, which was dedicated chiefly to attacking the platform of Booker T. Washington. The small organization, which met annually until 1909, was seriously weakened by internal squabbles and Washington's opposition. Both the Niagara Movement and the NAACP, Du Bois acted mainly as acted in a high role for both the NAACP and the Niagara Movement. But his thinking always exhibited, to varying degrees, separatist nationalist tendencies in the souls of black folk, where he expressed the characteristic of Black Americans. Now, a little bit of his later works, where Du Bois' Black nationalism took several forms, the most influential being his pioneer advocacy of Pan-Africanism, the belief that all people of African descent had common interests and should work together in the struggle for their freedom. Du Bois was the leader of the first Pan-African conference in London in 1900 and was the architect of four Pan-African congresses held between 1919 and 1927. He also had a position in the crisis in the NAACP in 1934, and yielding his influence as a race leader and charging that the organization was dedicated to the interests of Blacks and ignore the problem of the masses. Du Bois' interest in cooperatives was part of his nationalism that developed into a Marxist leanings. At the turn of the century, he had been an advocate of Black capitalism and Black support of Black businesses, but by 1905, he has been drawn towards socialist doctrines. Upon leaving the NAACP, he returned to Atlanta University, where he devoted the next 10 years to teaching and scholarship. And that concludes my my short piece on W.E.B. Du Bois. But the reason I just wanted to give everybody in the audience a little bit of background on Du Bois before I go into Booker T. Washington. And his thinking, as you'll see how it contrasts to Booker T.'s, is he's more of a person of change and not just accepting the oppression of Blacks in society, but to overcome that and to have higher positions in society, as he's shown by being a writer for the crisis, talking about it in his different works. One of his main top-selling books, The Souls of Black Folk, he talks about a lot of the oppression of Blacks during his time period. You know, his coming up, of course, was more towards the late 1800s, early 1900s, and that was, of course, a very intense moment in our history as it pertained to our oppression. And there were a lot of different opinions going around of how we should have went about our business and how we have these leaders who have these different opinions on how we should have some social change. His idea, of course, later joining the Niagara Movement and then the NAACP being leaders, is that we need to fight this problem and we can't sit back and just relax on these problems. We have to continue to progress forward. And, before I go to my next segment, I just want to hear a little bit on what Mr. Bay has to say on W.E.B. Du Bois as well. And then I could go into contrasting him with Booker T. Washington.
Well, Du Bois and the Talented Ten was someone that I've always admired and looked up to in history. Realizing that he did start the NAACP, I was always a fan of Du Bois, and I was not so much a fan of Booker T. Washington, but that had everything to do with the extent of the knowledge that I had at that time. Now I've kind of changed to become more of a fan of Booker T. Washington, and I have the reasons for that, but I'm going to save that for a little bit late for later on in the show. But one thing that I do need to say here is we have disparities in our community, and it's gone on for hundreds of years now. We have to learn as a people to work together in spite of our differences. And that is our challenge. That was our challenge then, and it is our challenge. I don't want to say too much, but maybe I can get Mr. Harris to chime in and make a comment or ask a question.
Yeah, how you doing? Bright moments. I really have like a comment because as a younger person, they really kind of did push Du Bois philosophy up a lot in our community, and not really understanding the other side. You know, he was real advocate for we need to let like the talented Temples get our best people, put them together, and let them run the show, and then everybody else will follow them, and then we can all march our way into freedom. But personally, I think that wasn't a good move. You know, as you're younger, you think of stuff one way, and as you get older, you start seeing how things really work, and it gives you a different perspective on things. But he was a real great man within our community, and just because he made us think about different ways of progressing as a people, you know, I think that was a very good thing. And that, you know, and I also want to say that was some good information that Walter put out there.
Okay, Walter, it's back on you.
Yes. And, you know, I just want to, before again I go into Booker T. Washington, I just want to mention a phrase that I came across when talking about W.E.B. Du Bois and his solution to solve the oppression of blacks, and that was social science. And this is something he believed that could have been a solution to help solve the problem. And basically, social science is the scientific study of human society and social relationships. So, you know, when you're discussing about, since he did have the degree dealing with science and social, what his idea, I guess we could all conclude, is he believes it came down to what a white thought of us as being, and the way they grew up is the way that they continued this thinking of how blacks are in society. You know, to clear that up, I guess just the teaching in a household can really affect somebody's mental for growing up, really affect their opinions of how they feel about either people or things, stuff like that. So, you know, when you grow up in a household that is constantly preaching, oh, these people over here, these are not good people to either hang around. These are bad people, evil, you know. You constantly hear that around your circle, you're going to start to grow up with these ideas that these people are actually evil, because that's exactly what you've been taught while growing up, and you've been always heard in your life, but you never really went out there and experienced how this is not either not true or true. You just listen to what other people are saying. So I guess when you talk about social science and social relationships, you know, it all comes down to who you're close with, and the relations you have with different people can depend on your mindset going forward, you know. And I believe that's social science, and that's a point that could have been brought, that was probably brought up by him, is the teachings of blacks in America. And to continue with Booker T. Washington, you know, Booker T. Washington was born in a slave hut, but after emancipation, moved with his family to Mayodan, West Virginia. Dire poverty ruled out regular schooling. At age 9, he began working, first in a salt furnace and later in a coal mine. Determined to get an education, he enrolled at the Hampton Normal and Agricultural Institute, now Hampton University, in Virginia in 1872, working as a janitor to help pay expenses. He graduated in 1975 and returned to West Virginia, where for 2 years he taught children in a day school and adults at night. following studies at Wayland Seminary in Washington, D.C. in 1878 and 1879. He joined the staff of Hampton. In 1881, Washington was selected to head a newly established normal school for African Americans at Tuskegee, an institute with two small converted buildings, no equipment, and very little money. Tuskegee Normal and Industrial Institute became a monument of his life's work. At his death 34 years later, it was more than 100 well-equipped buildings, some 1,500 students, a faculty of nearly 200 teaching, 38 trade and professions, and an endowment of approximately $2 million. Washington believed that it was the best interest of Black people in the post-Reconstruction era could be realized through education in the crafts and industrial skills and the cultivation of the virtues of patience, enterprise, and thrift. He urged his fellow Blacks, most of whom were impoverished and illiterate farm laborers, to temporarily abandon their efforts to win full civil rights and political power instead to cultivate their industrial and farming skills so as to attain economic security. Blacks would thus accept segregation and discrimination, but their eventual acquisition of wealth and culture will gradually win for them the respect and acceptance of the white community. This will break down the divisions between the two races and lead to equal citizenship for Blacks in the end. You know, of course, him and W.E.B. Du Bois, who deplored Washington's emphasis on vocational skills to the detriment of academic development and civil rights. And indeed, it is true that during the period of Washington's adolescence as national spokesman for African Americans, his race was systematically excluded both from the franchise and from effective participation in national political life. Most Blacks felt comfortable with Washington's approach. However, and his influence among whites was such that he became an unofficial person determining which Black individuals and institutions were deemed worthy to benefit from government patronage and white philanthropic support. He went on to receive honorary degrees from Harvard University, Dartmouth College in 1901. Among his dozens of books and autobiographies, Out from Slavery in 1901 was translated into many languages. And that concludes another, you know, short piece on Booker T. Washington. But I want to really get into just the debate and the thing that people talk about most between these two and how their ideas are different, because that's really the important thing here. You know, me and Mr. Bay, you know, he was telling me how Booker T. Washington actually, you know, he was somebody with a high standard in society. And the reason we decide together, the reason he probably thought of this is because, you know, of his high standing, he probably thought he was better than others. You know, I'm going to leave that for you, Mr. Bay, to talk a little bit more on. But just the other important thing is just how he more focused not on the social aspect, but more of the economic aspect for Blacks. He believed that, you know, basically work hard to get to the position you want to go, and then that will help earn the respect of whites in America, you know. And that, of course, was a very controversial statement, but it was ill African Americans out there who still agreed with this thinking that, you know, you should hone in on these different skill sets that you learn dealing with, you know, things like architect, laborers, different things like that, and earn an income and earn wealth from doing that, and then you'll earn the respect in the long end. So he wanted everybody to pause and stop the fight for civil and equal rights. Okay, so you know, before I pass it on to y'all, I also want to talk about again the two big different thinkings they had here. First, with W.E.B. Du Bois, which is the social, as I said, as a definition, the social science. Him believing, if you know, when you talk about social science, it's all about how you interact with one another and how your community can affect your mental and your thinking and your ideas on things. You know, he believed if whites could get the idea that we're actually humans as well, we could do the same things as you. We could coexist in this country together, and we could continue to fight for this oppression with these organizations and these groups. You know, that could help move on and continue the movement, I should say, for blacks in America. He didn't really go on to the economic part, which Booker T. Washington idea was, where he believed that you should earn an income and do this being as financially successful as your white counterparts, then you'll earn the respect. So, you know, I'm going to pass it on to y'all really quickly and just get your opinion on what do you think is more important with these two, and how do you feel on each two views, either with Booker T. Washington, with him going on the more economic route and believing we should build up and we should build up wealth to gain respect, or W.E.B. Du Bois's thinking of dealing with social science and interacting and teaching the white community of teaching them about the oppression of us and that we're actually human and slavery is over. We are technically citizens in this society now. How do y'all feel about that?
Well, first of all, I want to commend you for taking on the challenge of talking about this particular debate. You being a teenager, I do need to say that it is possible for young people like yourself to be able to comprehend this type of information as it pertains to the African-American diaspora here in America. And so when I look at it through a lens of where we stand today and where we came from, and I look at that through that lens of where we were and where we are, I see advancement. I still contend to the fact that the challenge for us then and today is still for us to be able to accept our differences as a one people and be able to work together. There's a story that I read about Booker T. Washington and his entrance into college. He was a hard-working man, and he was taught to be able to clean. When he asked for admission and he asked for the opportunity to work, gain a college degree, he was allowed in on the college campus into a building, and he was told, okay, we're going to see if you can work. And he was placed inside a room and told, okay, we just need this room clean. All right. What happened was that room passed the white glove test. I'm talking baseboards, windowsills, everything. There wasn't a speck of dust left in that room. And this is why he was able to get that job as a janitor to pay for his college education. So we're talking about, and at the same time, talking about Booker T. Washington again, right? He rode in the train cars, not in the back with the blacks, but up in the front with the whites. So his level of influence and knowledge base took him to heights where many black people during that period were not able to gain. And so Du Bois, on the other hand, being a more scholarly individual, saw things from a different perspective. And I'm not saying that he didn't have to work hard. I'm sure he did, being a graduate of Harvard, right? But I'm just going to stop there and let Mr. Harris come on in.
No, he was on a roll there, brother. Right, but I agree. But you know, again, like every conversation we have to take it in the mindset of what times they were actually living. They were going through this. This was right after Reconstruction. There was a lot of Black codes, Jim Crow stuff going on, and we were really coming to a realization that we had to prove to the dominant society that we were humans. And, you know, and nobody else ever had to do that before. You know, we were always, you might have been a lowly human, but they never even considered us as human. So, again, with W.B. Du Bois taking the scholarly track, you know, he wanted to prove that we can integrate into white society and everything could be fine because we're just as good as you are. And, that's where he bumped a lot of heads. That's why that's where the NAACP kind of led to the civil rights movement and stuff like that, you know. But Booker T was like, well, we can't come to the table. Like Malcolm was saying, just because you're able to be at a table and you don't have anything to eat, you can't call yourself a diner. So we have to build something of our own first and then try to work ourselves, you know, into the dominant society. You know, it might, you know, and that was the beef between Du Bois and Washington, because Du Bois said, if you do it that way, then you're just going to accept the oppression for a lot longer. But if you do it my way, we can like try to jump right in and do whatever we have to do. And even though both of their hearts were in the right place when it comes to our people, it was a definitely different track that they wanted to take, you know. And Du Bois was doing the academics. Washington, you know, he was the do-for-self person that was kind of like followed after Marcus Garvey followed that, then Elijah Muhammad and Malanga Karenga when he was doing this Afrocentric stuff. It was all, let's build something of ourselves first. Forget everybody else until we have ourselves together. And, that was kind of where I always wanted to come from. And Du Bois was like, okay, we're just going to get a few of us. We're going to focus on helping a few of us be able to reach a certain academic level where we can be able to conversate and debate with anybody on any level. But he was only talking about a talented 10th. And in my mind, that left 90% of the people out of the picture initially. So if the talented 10th didn't change anything, then what was the other 90% supposed to be doing while they were waiting? So I thought if they ever got together and used both of their tracks and moved while Du Bois was doing his talented 10th stuff, Booker T. Washington could be helping the other 90% build up something, and then we can all move together. But just like we've always found in our society, the way this thing is set up, we always have that Willie Lynch syndrome amongst ourselves where we need to find a way to find differences amongst ourselves when we need to. If we are going to have differences, it's like Malcolm said, let's keep it in the closet. And when we present ourselves out into the public, we have a united front. And those two, they made a big deal about that, and I just think it was a mistake for us to like follow that same track that the society said it was, the media said it was a debate, and they were against each other. But in reality, they both had their hearts in the right place. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. Okay. We've kind of run out of time, but we always have time for our phone line and who have hung in there online. So I'd like to introduce 9794. You can come on with a comment or a question for our program for tonight. 9794. Question or comment? 9794.
That's actually me, Mr. Bay, so you probably want to go to another number.
Okay. Okay. my fault. That'll be 6778.
How are you this evening? Great show. Great explanation between the two verses of Booker T. Washington, W.E.B. Du Bois. Outstanding work, Walter. Keep up the good work, guys.
Okay, thank you very much. And we want to bring on 7035.
Good evening, everyone. It was a good show regarding the debate between Washington and Du Bois. And I agree with you, Mr. Harris. There's always got to be some battle between us, because those two ideologies could have been brought together to uplift us or try and uplift us a whole lot sooner.
Okay. Walter, get ready to conclude the show. We were talking about community leadership, racial injustice, to advocate for intellectual philosophy to gain economics and a foothold in this American society for African Americans. And now, Walter, please close our program.
You know, today was a very good discussion. We had a lot of different viewpoints and ideas on these two guys, W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington, two guys who are very prominent in our society when dealing with racial oppression, and guys who have two different viewpoints on how we should go about it. It's always a good time and good discussion when we talk about these two guys. So I just want to thank everybody for listening to another edition of Quest Community Vibrations. Quest Youth Radio is the best
youth radio. Okay. Thank you again. We have tried to attempt to make waves, and thank you for joining us while we presented a different perspective of our diaspora. Thank you, everyone, and good night.